This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
Food, health, and nutrition historian Ian Mosby called it the most difficult research project he'd ever undertaken when he revealed that between 1942 and 1952, some of Canada's leading nutrition experts conducted an unprecedented series of nutritional studies of Aboriginal communities and residential schools. Subjects in the experiments were kept on starvation-level diets, or given or denied vitamins, minerals, and certain foods. In some cases, dental services were also withdrawn because researchers thought healthier teeth and gums might skew results. The research led to immediate and shocked reaction from across the country. Former Canadian Prime Minister Paul Martin told CBC News that thousands of descendants of the victims are likely still hurting as a direct result of past abuse. Martin said more funding for health care, trauma care, and education is critical for addressing wrongs of the past.
I spoke with Paul Martin last week and began by asking him why he has stressed the importance of full disclosure, that is, disclosing everything that happened during the residential school era and disclosing all of that information to all Canadians.
It's because Canadians are entitled to know the truth, and the truth should not be kept from them. Also, the consequences of keeping the truth can be quite serious. When you look at the situation today where the federal government is fighting the First Nations before the Human Rights Tribunal, saying that they're not entitled to the same degree of preventive welfare as our other Canadians, it's really when you begin to understand some of the history of the people who were seeking that kind of welfare for their children, that you begin to see just how important it is and how unreasonable, and in fact how discriminatory the federal government's position is. And so anything that would allow the government to continue underfunding health care, underfunding education, underfunding welfare, based on a hiding of the history of the First Nations residential schools, this monstrous act by the health care department, all of that kind of thing has got to cease. People have got to know the truth, and we've got to react to the problems of today.
The Toronto Star reports that the Truth and Reconciliation Commission now has more than 3 million historical records from churches that were involved in residential schools, from the federal government and other sources in its hands, and it seems pretty certain that this vast archive will yield many more shocking stories over time. How can we as a nation best deal with these revelations as they come out?
Well, first of all, I don't think that Canadians are afraid of the truth. I think the great strength of our country has been our openness, has been transparency. I think that what's important is that not simply all of these documents eventually be made public, but that they be analyzed. So that in fact that we can learn from the terrible mistakes of the past.
A spokesperson for the current federal Aboriginal Affairs Minister said in an email to media that, quote, when Prime Minister Harper made an historic apology to former students of Indian residential schools in 2008 on behalf of all Canadians, he recognized that this period had caused great harm and had no place in Canada, unquote. As though perhaps the apology was sufficient and it's done, what could or should the federal government do or continue to do in response to this?
Well, when I was in government, we worked very assiduously on the whole question of the apology. It was all ready when the new government took office, and I was delighted to see that they carried through. But the apology was only the first step. To apologize for residential schools and to continue to underfund elementary schools, high schools on reserve, to not provide Canadians with the true history of this country. None of that was what was supposed to follow the apology. The apology was to be followed by full funding for education, full funding for health care, and it was also to be followed by the truth.
Sean Atleo, the head of the Assembly of First Nations, has called for the federal government to work with First Nations to address what was done in the past and help ensure that Aboriginal families today have access to healthy food. What about that call for access to healthy food?
You know, if you take a look at what we're dealing with here, it's really, it is a whole. The approach to housing, the approach to health care, the approach to education, all of these are interrelated. It's hard to become well educated when you're a young child and you're not being well fed. It's hard to have good health if you're in really, you know, if you're living in terrible housing, especially in the Canadian climate. That's what Kelowna was all about. The Kelowna Court essentially said that all of these things are tied together. And if what we're going to do is to give Indigenous children in Canada the same chances as other children, then they have to have access to all of the determinants of health care, the determinants of education, which are, in fact, good food, good health care programs, preventive welfare, and obviously better education.
An op-ed article in the Vancouver Sun by the principal investigators of the BC and Yukon Networks for Aboriginal Health Research included the observation that, quote, the United Nations World Health Organization has finally admitted that health issues are a result of both physical and social determinants, but we seem to be moving backwards in Canada. Despite demonstrated success, recent funding cuts have thwarted progress on eliminating the health gap and optimizing Aboriginal health status, unquote. And you were speaking in this direction a bit earlier. What are your thoughts about this notion of moving backwards?
Well, if you take a look, most of the recent announcements that have been coming out of Ottawa is, in fact, they're cutting funding. They're cutting funding for Aboriginal education. They're cutting funding for Aboriginal health care. They're cutting funding for the administration of all of these issues. And that, those are very public numbers. But, you know, the real tragedy here is that you and I shouldn't be talking about Ottawa cutting back in terms of the health care and the education of Canada's Indigenous peoples. What we should be talking about is how Canada is pointing to our successes and in the full funding that we should be doing as we tell other countries what they should be doing in terms of their Indigenous people. We shouldn't be the laggards. We should be the leaders. And what Sean Atleo was talking about and what the other First Nations and Aboriginal leaders are talking about is let Canada be the leaders in this. Let us, I mean, you know, 5% of the world's population are Indigenous peoples, and they're suffering all over the world. And the country that should be leading to a better world, lack of the, on all of these kinds of issues, should be Canada. We shouldn't be the laggards. We shouldn't be the ones that are falling behind.
Mr. Paul Martin, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. It was much appreciated.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you.
The Right Honourable Paul Martin is the former Prime Minister of Canada, and in 2005 he introduced legislation to bring what was called the Kelowna Accord into effect. That accord resulted from 18 months of negotiation among Canada's first ministers and Aboriginal leadership. It would have brought $5 billion of spending to improve the education, employment, and living conditions for Aboriginal peoples. But after the minority Liberal government of Paul Martin fell and was replaced by Stephen Harper's Conservatives, the Kelowna Accord and its hoped-for funding was abolished. You can find Paul Martin online at paulmartin.ca. Kevin, what is the Assembly of First Nations saying about this?
Well, National Chief Sean Atleo said the following in a news release, and Ashta, I'd just like to quote a few of the sentences that I selected from that news release. Quote, "This report has sent a shockwave through First Nations in Canada and should be no less shocking to all Canadians and beyond. Sadly, I have a deeply personal connection as my home community of Ahusat was one of the communities that had these studies imposed on them unknowingly. This report has ignited a firestorm here at our annual General Assembly in Whitehorse and galvanized chiefs to table an emergency resolution calling for swift action and redress. The government must release all information on this matter without delay. We are mindful that this same government is withholding documents from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission and in our own discrimination complaint before the Human Rights Tribunal on First Nations Child Welfare. This shameful delay must end. Action is required that is consistent with the Prime Minister's apology for the residential schools that committed the Government of Canada to work towards healing and reconciliation. It is time to honour that promise. Now, Ashta, the Assembly of First Nations, you might say then, is reminding Canadians that if we want to know the truth, the whole truth, that the federal government is going to have to take some action or add some action to Prime Minister Stephen Harper's apology, which was made in June 2008. Now, during the course of that apology, Stephen Harper said, quote, "The burden of this experience has been on your shoulders for far too long. The burden is properly ours as a government and as a country."
What about the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada?
Well, the Honourable Justice Murray Sinclair, who is the chairperson of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, appeared on the CBC radio program All Points West on Tuesday, July 30th, 2013, to talk about this. He stated that the commission has had knowledge of medical experiments conducted on Aboriginal people in Canada that went beyond the nutritional experiments that were revealed by researcher Ian Mosby. Now, here's some of what Murray Sinclair said during that interview.
"We had seen the documents that relate to the experiments that were conducted in residential schools. There had been documents that obviously related to experimentation that went on in Aboriginal communities outside of the residential school setting. We hadn't seen those documents. But the residential school documents that were referred to in the research report that was published were checked by our staff and were satisfied that all of those documents had been provided to us. Well, we're still doing a number of research initiatives to look at documents. We're analyzing documents that we have got, and we're trying to find further documents. Most of the documentation concerning that kind of information will undoubtedly be in the archival material that relate to departments other than Aboriginal and Indian Affairs, and we're trying to access, and we're waiting to be able to access documents that are in the possession of Library and Archives Canada that relate to other departments like Health Canada. We do know that there were research initiatives that were conducted with regard to medicines that were used ultimately to treat the Canadian population. Some of those medicines were tested in Aboriginal communities and Aboriginal residential schools, rather, before they were utilized publicly. And some of those medicines, which were known to be able to work in the general population, we also have discovered were withheld from children in residential schools, and we're trying to find the documents which explain that, too."
That was Justice Murray Sinclair, who is the chair of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. He was speaking on CBC Radio's All Points West. Kevin, what else should we expect to hear on this in the weeks and months to come?
Ask to watch for a continuing struggle between Aboriginal leadership in the country and the Harper government about the release of documents related to residential schools. And it seems likely that Canadians as a whole will be forced to confront many more uncomfortable truths as the facts related to this period in history to continue to come out.
If listeners would like to find out more about this, you can find researcher Ian Mosby online at ianmosby.ca. That's M-O-S-B-Y. His research article revealing that Aboriginal children were subjected to nutritional experiments is called Administering Colonial Science, Nutrition Research and Human Biomedical Experimentation in Aboriginal Communities and Residential Schools, 1942 to 1952. To find out more about former Prime Minister Paul Martin's activities, particularly the Martin Aboriginal Initiative, go to paulmartin.ca. And you can find Canada's Truth and Reconciliation Commission online at trc.ca.
I'd like to acknowledge and thank the Assembly of First Nations communications staff who worked hard to arrange an interview with representatives from Aboriginal leadership, but unfortunately, an interview opportunity didn't occur in time for our broadcast today. You can find the Assembly online at afn.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.